right. Luke chapter 5 is where we are today. If you're here and you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, go ahead and lift up your hand and one of our ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it home. If you just forgot your Bible and want to borrow one along with the service, you can borrow it, set it back in the bookcase. So we do this in all of our services. We want to make sure everyone who wants a Bible gets a Bible. That's a value of ours. Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. Before we dive into that message, let me share a couple quick things. Number one, right after this service at about 1 o'clock, we're having a new members class. And so if you're interested in finding out more what membership looks like at Adventure Church, that's going to be 1 o'clock here in Adventure Village. We have free lunch, free childcare, probably about an hour. And so there's no obligation to join the church. But if you'd like information about what that looks like, we'll be unpacking that for you. So please come on over if you'd like to. If you can't today but are still interested, let us know. We've got a congregational meeting happening the end of May. And so this is preceding that. So please let us know about that. And then secondly, remember next weekend is Messy Grace Weekend. Pastor Caleb will be here. We'll be selling his book. He's going to be at the Thrive Conference down in Bayside. And then he's coming up with us after the conference, going to be here with us all weekend. And just really excited about the opportunity. Want to encourage you again, we're not about like pulling people from different places, but with our Saturday night service, it's a great opportunity to invite your friends. They may go to another church. They can check out what Caleb has to say and then go back to their church on Sunday morning. So just really want to encourage you. Believe it's going to be an impactful weekend and looking forward to it. And trying to get our interest level raised, and you may be curious kind of what his story is about. He'll obviously unpack it more when he's here. Here's just a short little video clip of Pastor Caleb, and then we'll have more next weekend. Check it out. So next weekend, Caleb will be here, and I just wanted to kind of, introduce. I've had a few questions, like, Pastor Greg, why? Like, what are we doing? Like, what is this about? And I just want to be clear on a couple things. One, it's my responsibility to lead and to equip. And I just want to make sure that we're a church that's not afraid of engaging in the conversations that impact our culture and society today. That's what this is about. You may not agree with everything that Caleb is going to share. You may not agree with everything that's in his book. I believe that you're going to find his presentation compelling. I believe his viewpoint and his filter is biblical. And we talk a lot in our church about walking in that tension of grace and truth. And I believe that Caleb's experiences is going to be a great help and is going to be a great help to us as we consider not just as it relates to LGBT issues, but just any issue of disagreement that we have in our culture and society. How do we love other people as Jesus would without sacrificing our convictions, without sacrificing what the Bible clearly teaches on certain subjects? How do we walk that line? Caleb's going to help us with that. So I hope that you'll come. I hope that you'll come with open minds and be ready to receive what he's going to share. I believe it's going to be a blessing. I believe it's going to challenge us. When I approach lots of these kinds of issues, I have more questions than I have answers. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to kind of walk in this world and walk in this culture and be salt and light. And so coming out next weekend, join us for this special weekend. And lastly, it's our first Sunday of the month. So the first Sunday of the month is when we observe communion as a church. And we also take a special offering. So the special offering next weekend will be for Pastor Caleb. So I want you to be prayerfully considering and come prepared next week to give a generous offering. It's just a huge blessing that he would be able to come and be with us. We've been talking for a couple years, been trying to figure out what would be a good time. When I found out he was going to be at Bayside for Thrive, we're going to be at Thrive this weekend, I thought, man, this is a great opportunity. So he's coming up. We don't even have to take care of his plane fare like Bayside's doing that. So thank you, Bayside. It's all working together really, really well. And I just want to bless him with a great offering. So please come next week prepared to give. And let's honor him for taking the time to be with us when he could be going back home to his family after being gone at a conference all week. So that's next weekend. Invite your friends. All right, Luke chapter number 5. So we're concluding today our Reset series. And so we've been going through this last 4 weeks post-Easter. Reset my heart, my mind, my voice, and today my hands. And these are the 4 simple prayers we've been asking Jesus. reset my heart. Jesus reset my mind. Jesus reset my voice. Jesus reset my hands. And that's what this has been. It's just been a prayer of our lives. Like, Lord, help reset these things in my life. We're not really learning anything new. It's really nothing super profound, but it just gives us that opportunity to really be reflective of where am I spiritually and perform the reset that's necessary in our hearts and lives. So as we move today into this idea of the hands and our actions and what we're doing, it's important to remember as we springboard off of last week with the voice, the cliches are absolutely true. Actions speak louder than words, talk is cheap, right? What we say is one thing, but then how we reinforce what we say with what we do is so very important. Because we can say anything. We can say anything. We can spout anything. We can use our voice in any way, but if our actions don't back it up, it's gonna not be effective and it's not going to be impactful at all. So this last week we had our softball game. And our two adventure teams played each other. So co-ed 1 played co-ed 2, and it doesn't really matter who won. Which means that my team lost. Okay. And we had a great time. It was a great opportunity for fellowship, and it was Michelle's birthday. We had cupcakes and all that good stuff. It was just super fun. But if I were to say, out of everybody in that picture, I'm the best hitter on adventure's softball teams, it would soon be made apparent as soon as I stepped up to the plate if that was true or not. And let me tell you, it is not true. I'm probably not in the top 20. That's about right, okay? So I'm not a great hitter, but I can say whatever I want to say. But the action is what backs it up. And we can say, and we need to reset our voice. We talked about that last week. But then what we do is so important because there's so many people who are saying one thing and doing something else. And there's no credibility and there's no impact being made for the gospel. Look at your note sheet. Check out what it says here at the top. Once we are reset by Jesus, we get to join him in his work, which always involves freeing those in bondage, embracing those in isolation, and loving even the unlovely in our midst. So we conclude today with our hands. Jesus reset our hands. So Luke chapter number 5. 17 to 26, it's page 954. If you've got one of those adventure Bibles, and our custom is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture out of respect for the Word of God. So if you're able to, please stand with us, and I'll read, you follow along, Luke chapter 5, 17 through 26. The Bible says this, "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, 'Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And we have seen extraordinary things today." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have to open your word. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to do so. Thank you for this place, and thank you for these people. And I pray that as we take this last opportunity to look at this series of Reset, Lord, that you would open our minds, open our hearts, help us to understand, and most importantly, help us to apply that which we learned today. So thank you for each one that's come. Bless the remainder of this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. So as we've been going through our series, we've been looking at four things: the biblical background, contemporary insight, key takeaways, and then concluding with my action step. So the biblical background is right here in Luke chapter number 5. The impact of Jesus in the life of the paralyzed man was preceded by the action of his friends. Jesus does this amazing miracle, And he's able to do this amazing miracle because of the work of his friends, the action of the friends of this man in bringing him to Jesus. And as we've said in other messages in this series, I think that as the man goes home, he takes up his bed, he goes home, he glorifies God. If he were to get onto his social media that afternoon, you know what his hashtag would have been? Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. This man was healed. This man was forgiven. This man was given a new destiny, all because of Jesus, and that was all preceded by the action of his friends in bringing him to where Jesus was. So setting the scene, as we think about this story, and don't miss what's going on here. This is kind of one of those stories that those of us that have been in church for a long time, we've read the story, we've heard the story, but don't miss the impact of what it's like for Jesus to be in a house, very, very crowded, people can't even get in, and he's lowered down through the roof to get to Jesus. This was really brought home to me when I went to Israel this last January. We visited a village that was modeled after what a village would have looked like at the time of Jesus. We all got into costume. We got to see how bread was made, how they farmed, all that kind of thing. So here's a picture of me, not me, I'm taking the picture. They're in the room of one of the houses that it would have been like in this kind of a scenario. And it's just fascinating. One of the things that was often talked about when I went to Israel was it's basically you start reading the Bible in 3D. It's like having 3D glasses on. It just really begins to come to life. And when you're standing in a room where it very likely would have been that kind of a context, it really just opens your eyes as to what that was about. Super tight, super crowded, people everywhere, even animals. The houses then were not like the houses today. They weren't like, three bedrooms and two baths and a den and a study and a kitchen. And it was like a big room. And maybe if it was a nicer house like this one, there's an upper room. There's a place where we might consider the master bedroom, but there'd be place like, the animals would be brought in at night. It was just one big place. And it's in this context where Jesus is teaching and they bring their friend and we can't get in, and they bring him down then through the roof. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because it accentuates this truth that friends bring friends to Jesus. That's what friends do. If you have friends, bring them to Jesus. And I'm just grateful that he had friends like this. I ask the question, do I have friends like this? Do you have friends like this who just care for you so much that they will do all that they can to be a help and an encouragement? And I'm just really thankful for the people that God has brought into my life. We had a great opportunity this last week to go out with our staff. And so this is a picture of our staff and spouses. We went to dinner, and then we went to go see Avengers: Infinity War. That's all I'm going to say. Spoiler-free zone here at the church, okay? We had a great time. And as I look at this picture, I'm like, man, these are my coworkers. These are my ministry partners. These are my teammates. But you know what else they are? They're my friends. They're my friends. They're people that I can reach out to. They're people I can text. They're people that I can call. They're people that I know are there for me, and we're walking life together. And I'm just so grateful for each and every one of them. And if you have those friends, man, let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them know how grateful you are for them. And get those kind of people in your life. Get those kind of people in your life. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." And there's that connection that takes place, that catalytic moment. And I'm so grateful to have those friends. And this guy certainly was grateful for the friends that had been brought into his life. Jesus blessed their action and performed an incredible miracle. We see oftentimes in the gospel, Jesus, he does many miracles. He's doing lots of different things throughout the course of his ministry, teaching and healing and ministering to people. But we see at times like this one, where something he does is precipitated by something someone else is doing. In addition to this, one of my favorite stories is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the little boy's lunch. You remember that story? There's this huge crowd of people. What are we going to do? They're hungry. We need to send them away. Jesus is like, make them sit down. Watch this. You know, I mean, Jesus got it covered. He's got it under control. And he's able to take what the boy brings, and he's able to feed the 5,000 plus women and children. So maybe 10,000 people he feeds with this little lunch. Do you remember when Dallas Jenkins was here, the resurrection of Gavin Stone and the shepherd? We showed that at Christmas time. He was here, and he was very vulnerable about the commercial failure of that film and how it just didn't resonate with mass audiences the way he had hoped, and how God had worked in his life and how he had to process all of that. And one of the things that came out of that experience, and he shared it with us so poignantly, was, I'm responsible for bringing the lunch. That's all I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for bringing the lunch. Jesus is the one who does the miracle. I'm not responsible for the miracle. I'm responsible for doing my part. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians in the NIV. For we are co-workers in God's service. Just let your mind wrap around that for a minute. We are co-workers in God's service. And check this out. We do not invite God into our work. God invites us into his work. There's a big difference. He invites us. He says, participate in the work that I'm doing. And we see this wonderful union in Luke chapter number 5 of the participation of the friends in bringing this man to Jesus, and the impact that Jesus is able to make in the life of this person by healing him from his paralysis and forgiving his sins. Number 2, contemporary insight. The transforming of the heart, the renewing of the mind, and the refocusing of the voice will all lead to an activation of the hands. Don't miss this progression. We've been talking about it through this series. Don't miss this progression. Heart, mind, voice, and then hands. We're talking about regeneration, not reformation. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about from the inside out. It's not about, I got to get my act straight. I got to reform the way that I talk, and I hope that's going to impact my mind and my heart. No, he does the work in the heart that begins to affect our mind, which affects our voice, which then activates our hands. That's what he does. We are committed to walking with Jesus, that's the heart, with meditating on his word, that's the mind. Our speech will be gracious and loving, that's our voice, and we will then act. Our faith informs our thoughts inform our words, and our words inform our actions. There's a natural progression that's taking place here. And we see this as the end result. We see this as the byproduct of all the other resetting that Jesus has been doing in our lives. This was a point that was made really clear to me when I was finishing up my high school year, so many, many moons ago. And one of the things that I used to struggle with way back in the day, I kind of grew up in this understanding of God's will. And when I thought about God's will, it was a fearful something. It was, boy, I hope I'm making the right choice. You know, I wanted to be in the center of God's will, and I was so concerned that I would make the wrong choice and it would not be God's will. What if I marry the wrong person? What if I go to the wrong school? What if I pick the wrong job? What if I turn right when I should have turned left? And all the focus was on the choice that was made, or the choice that was going to be made, and that was in the wrong place. So someone gave me a book. It was probably one of my youth leaders, gave me a book, John MacArthur, named Found God's Will. It's a great little resource, about 50 pages long. Encourage it, parents with kids. It's a great, great little book. And as I read that book, the book basically opens with, the way to find God's will is do whatever you want. And I thought, sweet, you know, I'm like 18 years old, like done, you know, like, and it's like, don't finish the rest of the book. Don't put it aside. And the whole argument that he makes is when you follow these certain steps, when you get to the end, do whatever you want. And he based it on this verse, Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the argument that he makes is, when my heart is in alignment with the Lord, the choices that I make are going to be the things that he will want me to do. So my focus is not on the choices that I'm making. My focus is my heart in alignment with you? So rather than focusing on the choice, I'm focusing on the Lord. And the natural byproduct of going through this process and making sure that my heart is in alignment with the Lord, at the very end, do what you want. Make your choice. Because what you choose is going to be okay, because what's most important is your relationship with the Lord. And that's so true in this instance. Heart, mind, voice, guess what happens? You just start acting. You just start performing. You just start serving. You just start doing, because this is the natural byproduct of the reset life. We cannot just be a voice. We have to be a voice. We spent the entire sermon last week talking about this. We need to be His voice. We cannot be silent, but we must also be His hands. Our voice is not enough. We need to be His hands, just as these friends were His hands. Those actions that lead to Jesus are profound and powerful. Think about that. The actions that led these friends to bring their friend to Jesus, that was profound. That was powerful. And when you think about the impact that they had had, but with what they've done, a pastor, a coach, a teacher, a parent, a neighbor, a grandparent, a youth leader. And as I even talk about this, all throughout this room, someone is coming to mind. Someone's image is forming in your mind right now, and you're thinking, yep, that's the person. I'm so grateful for that person. I'm so grateful for the impact that person had in my life. My challenge for all of us this morning is be that person for someone else. 50 years from now, when someone in your life is listening to a message like this and the pastor standing up saying, remember that person who had an impact in their life, will they see your face? Will your face be the one that they see? Because you were not just talking, you were doing, and you were making an impact, as strong as an impact as these friends had with their paralyzed friend. Be that person. Key takeaways. I got four of them this morning. Number one, do something. It's in all caps, so that means I'm yelling at you. Do something. Check this out. Our inability to do everything often handicaps our ability to do anything. I can't do everything. I can't do steps 4, 5, and 6, so we don't take step 1. What's the bother? What's the point? I'm not going to be able to go all the way. I'm not going to be able to follow. Whatever it is, it handicaps us from even taking those first steps. I want to encourage you to do something. So I'm getting a little bit more comfortable, you know, talking about my, you know, some of my weight loss journey and some of my goals, because I've been really successful to the glory of God. One of my goals is to lose 100 pounds by Christmas. 100 pounds by Christmas. So I'm over halfway there already, which is really great. So thank you. So my wife and I celebrate 25 years of marriage in December. So our hope is after Christmas, we want to go to Cancun and celebrate. And I told her I wanted to wear a Speedo on the beach. You got to have a goal, right? Got to have a goal. She says, Greg, no, please. Don't put that on Facebook, whatever you do, okay? You know how you lose 100 pounds? Thank you. 1 pound at a time. 1 pound at a time. I started this 12 weeks ago tomorrow. So tomorrow will be my 12th week, anniversary of my 12th week. And man, I would have loved to after Super Bowl Sunday, after my pizza and soda and ice cream, I went all out for that last meal, to just wake up the next day and boom, done. Doesn't work that way. Day at a time. 1 pound at a time. Doesn't happen all at once. It happens over time. I love this analogy. I've used it before. Here's a $100 bill. $100 is a lot of money. I got this from my wife. She let me borrow it. Thank you, babe. So $100. I mean, there's probably not anybody who'd be like, man, I would love to have $100. $100 is a lot of money. This is 400 quarters. You know how much this is? It's $100. And I use this analogy a lot, because I love it, because we think we live our lives in $100 bills, but we don't. You know what we live our lives in? Quarters. It's doing something. It's 1, and then it's 2, and then it's 4, and then it's 8, and then it's 16, and before you know it, you've got $100. Don't be handicapped. Don't be crippled by the fact that you don't have this, that you don't do the little bit. So do something once. Say, Pastor Greg, man, I'd love to volunteer in children's ministry or love to help as an usher, but man, I can't commit to 3 months or I don't want to get on the schedule I got. Do it once. Do it one time. Man, I hear these stories about these people and like they're in Starbucks and they want to pay it forward to the person behind them. And man, that's like so cool. And man, I couldn't do it once. You don't have to do it every time. Man, you know, I'd love to have someone over to my house, but man, you know, I got dogs and the house is a mess and I'd be so embarrassed to have people over. I'm not saying you got to open an Airbnb. Do it once. Invite somebody over. Just start stretching, start exercising those muscles. Do something and see what God does. Tracy loves, you know, one of the greatest ways I show love to my wife is I change the toilet paper roll. She loves that, you know? Like, don't just put the roll on the thing. Like, take 7 seconds and change it. Right? Amen? I'm like golden at that point. You're wonderful. I'm like, thank you. Yeah. We get thinking about, we got these big, grandiose, and there's nothing wrong with doing those, but don't let the not doing something big keep you from doing something. Do something. Check out this verse in James. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is what? Sin. Check, check, check. And we forget that there are a bunch of things that we're supposed to do that we don't. And we call those sins of omission. And when we don't do those things, just as sinful as the check mark of the things we're not supposed to do. Okay? Do something. Number two. Be the answer to a prayer. Be the answer to a prayer. I said it again this morning. I say it, I think, probably every week. We're a praying church. I love that about our church. We have a prayer chain. We have a prayer gathering on Wednesday morning. We've got a prayer team. We do prayer cards. We have all this stuff going on about prayer. And I love that about our church. Let's keep praying. But maybe we need to ask God, in addition to praying, do I need to be an answer to this prayer? Are you calling me to do something to help in this situation? Maybe he would have you do that. Is there a need in someone's life that you can personally meet? You know, as the pastor of our church, I get a glimpse of this from time to time. You know, prayer requests will come through, or a need will be made, will be made aware of a need. And some, hey, like, I want to help that need. And so we help try to put those people together. There's a giving to the Compassion Fund, or, you know, those types of things. And it's always just such a blessing. And my encouragement is to be looking for those opportunities. Pray for everybody on your list. Pray for the list as it comes through. But as you're praying, ask God, is there something I can do? Is there something you would have me do to bless this person, to encourage this person, to be the answer to the prayer? Ask him about that. Love your neighbor. Number three, overcome your obstacle. Overcome your obstacle. This isn't in your notes, but there are generally three obstacles that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. They're up here on the screen. Comfort, convenience, and cost. Okay, comfort, convenient, and cost. Convenience and cost. So these guys have a friend, and they need to bring their friend, and you know, they can't, like, call an Uber. They can't even wheel him. They've got to pick him up and carry him and take him to where Jesus is. Uncomfortable, but they do it. They don't. They keep going. They don't let that stop them. They overcome that obstacle. How about the inconvenience of getting there and, like, hey, look, bro, we tried to get in. We can't get in. Sorry. Peace. And off they go. That's sometimes what we do. We're like, man, they went the extra mile. Think about that. Just visualize this in your head. They had to carry him there, which means they had to carry him to the roof. Not super convenient, but they did not let that stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. Convenience cannot be an excuse. And then the last one, they had to tear up the roof. Like, I wonder if they got up there like, okay, like, who's paying for the roof? Who's going to pony up for this? Because we're about ready to destroy this guy's roof so we can lower Fred down. And what's that going to mean? It may cost us something to do this. And the reality is, it may cost us to do some things that God prompts us to do. So I got to share. I mean, this is I didn't share this last night because I talked about this last night. I talked about like doing something and the one thing. And so I used that Starbucks illustration. Like, you know, if God leads you to do that, like pay for the person's drink behind you. And so this morning, I had to go to Starbucks. I had a bit of a late night last night. And so I went through Starbucks and I was like, you know, and I talked about that last night. So I probably need to do this. Like, God's asking me to do this. So I look in the back and I'm like, okay, there's only one person in the car. So, I mean, the cost, right? It's like, okay, I think I can handle this, you know. So I'm going to be, like, super Christian. I'm going to, like, take care of the person behind me. Hopefully they notice the Adventure Church bumper sticker on my car, you know, and that'll be cool. And so I get up there, and I'm like, hey, good morning. You know, there's my drink, you know, $2-3. And I'm like, hey, I want to take care of the person behind me. It's like, great, cool. Like, let me take care of you, and then, you know, we'll take care of that separate. She comes back, she goes, it's $21. And she goes, so like maybe next time. I said, no. I said, the truth is God told me I needed to pay for the drink of the person behind me. So here it is, $21. She goes, it's actually $21.45. So I'm like, okay, here's 50 cents. $25 cup of coffee this morning, all right? But check this out. This is what we do. We kind of figure out like, so even in my moment of like, you know, I'm going to lead by example, you know, I'm the pastor of the church, I'm sitting there like, ooh, you know? And sometimes it costs us more than we're prepared for. But when God says do it, do it. And overcome whatever that obstacle is. Sometimes it's like, it's uncomfortable to do something. Sometimes it's inconvenient to do something. Sometimes it costs more than what we anticipated. Overcome those things. The friend who got himself lowered down the room, he was grateful. They overcame their obstacle. And fourthly, lastly, embrace your freedom. Embrace your freedom to serve. Galatians chapter number 5. And quick side note. So we've been doing a little topical series here. We're getting ready to dive back in. We're going to do Galatians next. So next week is Caleb. The next week, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Isn't that good? Yeah, right on. So we're going to go through expository of the book of Galatians. So really, really excited about that. So check out this verse in Galatians 5:13-14. If you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what? Serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've been given this freedom. We've been given this grace. We've been given this mercy. We've been given this joy. And it's not just for you to sit back and soak it all in. It's not just for you. It's a freedom that we are given to then serve other people. Embrace that freedom. Embrace that joy. I'm going to volunteer in children's ministry once because that's what PG said I have to do. Going to usher, going to pay for that guy's Starbucks drink because that's what I'm supposed to do. No. It's not I have to do these things. It's I get to do these things because I have been blessed, because I have been made free. And because I have been made free, I now get to do all these things. And I get to become a partner in the work of God in the life of someone else. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. Embrace your freedom. Embrace your freedom. In conclusion, my action step. What is one thing I can do this week to impact someone around me? What is one thing? I'm not asking you to evangelize all of Yuba City, folks. What's one thing you can do? I'm not asking you to have every single coworker with you sitting in church next Sunday. What is one thing you can do this week to impact someone around you? Before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, jot something down on these blanks and do that one thing. Don't live your life in $100 bills. Live your life in quarters. As you're thinking about that, let's have our closing video and I'll come back with a story, a scripture, and a closing illustration prayer before we leave. Guys, hit that. What is one thing I can do this week to impact someone around me? Take that to heart as you leave today. Are you familiar with this story? Check it out. It's on the screen. The story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Isn't that how it works sometimes? Yeah. So oftentimes that's our story, that's our testimony. Look at the scripture on the screen, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God says, look, I gave up my son. I gave up that which was most dear to me. I will give you all that you need to do what I'm asking you to do. What keeps us from taking that step are feelings of inadequacy, lack of resource, lack of inability, lack of experience, passion, whatever it is, whatever that wall is. And this verse reminds us that he graciously gives us all things. Take every one of those excuses and lay them down at the foot of the cross. This is a bag of M&Ms. This is a fun size bag of M&Ms, which means I don't know, because typically what I would do is I would just eat like 10 fun size bags, right? There's only like 12, you know, 12 M&Ms in here. But if you were to ask me, like, you know, PG, can I have an M&M? And I'd give you one. If this is all that I had, it would, you know, I wouldn't have a lot left. There's not a lot of resource here for me to give to people M&Ms. If you go to the store, you'll find this in the aisle. This is the share size. And this is for the people who don't really want to share. They just don't want to eat 10 packages of those. They get this for themselves. And they say, this is what I'm going to have. And I'm going to convince myself when I'm checking out that it's to share with someone else, but it's really just for me. I have more at this point, but it's still limited. It's still a limited resource in order to give to people, you know, here today. Then you've got the party size. And this would probably help, you know, this group and maybe one of our services, but certainly not all three of our services. And you had children and all the different people that are at Adventure this weekend. It's still a limited resource. We come to these areas related to what we can do. We think about often our limited resources. And what God has is the key to the factory that makes M&Ms. You know how many M&Ms are produced in the world every single day? 400 million. 400 million M&Ms every day. So when we come, we say, you know, I don't know. It's like, hey, I got all that you need. I have all the resources available. I'm looking to give them. And I even know what you need before you even ask me. When you come up against any wall, any obstacle, any barrier that keeps you from thinking, you can do what God wants you to do. Jesus, reset my hands. I want you to remember that His gives us all things. Overcome those obstacles. Embrace your freedom. Be an answer to a prayer. Do something. Jesus, reset my hands. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Nobody's looking around. Let me close in prayer this morning. And as we have in each of these services, I'll ask you for a lifted hand if this is your prayer this morning as we prepare to close. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking you to take our hands and set them apart for your service. Take the sum of our lives, God, and use it for your glory and for your sake. I don't know what the obstacles are. I don't know what the barriers are. I don't know what the excuses are. I don't know what it is in your heart, what it is in your life. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's convenience. Maybe it's cost. I don't know. But if you're here this morning and God is speaking to your heart, and by the raised hand you say, Jesus, reset my hands. Jesus, reset my hands. If that's your prayer this morning, would you lift up your hand? All over the room, all over the room. Jesus, reset my hands. May I be involved in service, not for myself, but because you want me to be a part. You invite me to be a part of the work you're doing in the lives of people. And that's such an awesome, awesome thing. As we prepare to close, not just this service, but this entire series, we're going to have an invitational moment. We don't do this in all of our services, but we do it on occasion. And I wanted to close this series with an opportunity for you. If God has touched you through this series, to walk this aisle, to come to the front, to pray either in the front row or right here by the stage, and just offer these prayers again. Jesus, reset my heart. Jesus, reset my mind. Jesus, reset my voice. Jesus, reset my hands. Because the concern is we go through a series like this and say, that was great, and then we move on. Caleb and Mother's Day and Galatians, and we forget what God did. Don't forget what God did in your life over these past 4 weeks. Let's all stand to our feet. Everyone's standing. No one's looking around. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you want to take a moment this morning and walk down this aisle and pray, you come right now. Right now. We're not going to tarry. We're not going to wait. If God has spoken your heart in the course of this series, and you want to come and pray, Jesus, help me to remember the reset that you've done in my life through the course of these 4 weeks. May April 2018 be saying that you remember a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. That was when, that was the moment that Jesus did the reset. You come and you pray. Father, thank you for being so gracious and so good. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you for the reset that's available because of his sacrifice. Father, as we leave this place, as we continue to process not just this message, but this whole series, I pray that it would continue to resonate in our lives, this reset that's offered for heart, mind, voice, and hands. Lord, there are people around us that need your touch.